Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now very thankful for this time that you've blessed us with to be able to come together and to study a portion of your word and to study the Acts of the Apostles. And we thank you for the blessing that we have here in this country to be able to do so without fear of outside persecution. And we pray that we pray for those of our number who are not able to be with us tonight, and for whatever that reason may be, that they might be able to come back and be with us. And we pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm 100% sure everybody heard the invitation song. It's number 47 in the supplement. 47 supplement.
Monday evening, I was listening to the radio, and as I was coming home, and I actually had it on my phone, so I was listening even as I came upstairs and told Jillian, I said, let me finish this real quick if you don't mind, because I was listening. It was not exactly a news article. It was kind of an introduction to a radio show that a guy was doing, and he was talking about courage. Now, he was speaking of it in the terms of trying to have courage, knowing that things hadn't gone the way that a lot of people would have liked for them to have gone. When we don't see politics play out the way we want it to, or our leadership is not what it is, that we have to have courage to stand strong. And that's the application he ended up making. But when he started off, he said a few things that I thought, well, that is just a beautiful way to get into understanding what the Lord tells us about courage. You know, when we say courage, right, We often think about really difficult situations like a war, having to have courage to go into battle, or the police, or fire when they get a call out for things. The bomb squad having to go in where they know a bomb has been reported and it could go off any time, and we try to get everybody else out, but those men have to have the courage to go in and take care of that. FBI and SWAT get called in to some of the worst situations in life, and they have to be very courageous people to do that. I've always noted how after 9/11, you know, how many times people noted the fact that when everybody's fleeing those buildings, you had all those police officers, fire people, and rescue people running toward those buildings. They're burning. Things have exploded. Trash is everywhere. You know, not the place that you think about going. Yeah, that's exactly where they were headed, and running up the stairs as fast as they could to get to the fire. It's a lot of courage. We just celebrated Veterans Day, and one of the things we note are some of the most brave people that have stood up for things in this country under the most difficult situations. You know, really not many of us actually really face those kinds of opportunities to demonstrate courage. And I'm thankful for that, that I don't get faced with that very often. We more often maybe face momentary danger in our life, some situation that we have to deal with. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We got arrested under false charges and then were threatened to go into the fiery furnace, right? That took a lot of courage to stand there and say, we're not going to change whatever you decide. You can promise to not throw us in there, or you can assure us that you're going to throw us in there. We're not going to change our position. We stand for the truth, and that took a lot of courage. Sometimes we face hardship. People deal with money problems. I mean, I see some really sad situations at the bank sometimes. And it takes a lot of courage to walk out and realize how little resources they have or little hope of rectifying that financial situation when it's going to create a lot of shortcomings for them, them and their family. And people make really poor choices sometimes because they don't have the courage to do what's necessary under those difficult situations. Of course, your children sometimes end up causing that. I didn't really have to experience that and still don't. I'm very thankful for that. But there have been moments when I could recognize that people that did not raise their children well, or their children just simply got off track for one reason or another, and it creates a lot of difficulty and hardship for a family. And then, of course, as you get older, you realize sometimes you have parents. And they have health problems, they have mental problems, they get dementia or something, and they don't even know who you are. Saw this little video this morning. It was a woman that she was feeding her mother, and she was filming it just for the sake of filming it. But at that moment, her mother had a moment of recognition and told her she loved her. And it really caught her for a minute because the lady hadn't heard that in so long, and it was things she was putting into but not getting anything back out of. And then having to go back and see her fall away again and know that she didn't trust her. I watched Penny and Bob do that many times with Penny's mother. That was really sad, and it's hard to get through, and you have to have courage to hold on to what you know that person was and what they did and who they were and who they cared for. Sickness and death and loss, those require great courage when we go to the hospital, when we go to the nursing home. Courage to even go in there sometimes and deal with what we know we're going to face. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31 and verses 6 and 7, as Moses was preparing the people to go into the land after he would pass away and not be leading them anymore. Led them for 40 years, and they had seen all the great powers of God exercised through Moses and his staff. But now he knows he's not going to be there, and so he delivers this message in Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 7. Be strong, he's speaking to Israel first, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, the people they're going up against in the land. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage. Thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And Moses is saying this, the root of what's going to be able to make you accomplish that is your strength of courage that you will take into the land with you. Not in me, I'm going away, Moses says, in God. God will deliver. God will do what he says. You know, God reiterated that message to Joshua in particular in Joshua chapter 1. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Joshua chapter 1 is Moses, his servant, was dead. And he turns to Joshua and says, it's your time to lead. And verse 6 of Joshua 1, be strong and of good courage. Exactly what Moses had told him. That's where Moses got it, was from God. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Three times he says in those four verses, be strong and courageous. Go with me, because I am always with you. And the root of that would be in the law that they would have, that they were taking the law into the land. God's word was going forth into the land of Canaan to root out this idolatry and this heathenism. And that they would go and be with God, and God would take them through, lead them every which way. They just had to be strong and courageous to do that. Our example, I guess, our experience with this is really an everyday courage, right? An everyday courage. We're not all called on to go to war. We're not all called on to go into a burning building. Hopefully we will do what was needed to help other people and not be afraid and know that God is with us. But everyday courage takes a lot too. Traffic. Every time you pull out a 119 up here as we lead services, it takes some courage to turn left or right up there. Left even more than right. You go to your job every day. Will you be successful? Will you have the opportunities that you need? Will you lay hold of the opportunities? Will you find what you need to do? I'm in a kind of a sales position and in a management position. And I have responsibility not only to my customers, but also to my associates. You know, well, every day it takes some courage to think I can go in and take care of all my responsibilities that I have. I know you have the same moment sometime in the morning, you know. School. Will I have the courage to go take those classes, to go into a class, start a class and pay for it, that if something I don't know anything about yet, and know that I'll be able to learn it and get a passing grade that'll make it worth the money that I spent. Family. Everyday courage to take care of your family, to provide for and make sure everybody has what they need. We have great challenges on a very daily basis. That's everyday courage that we're required to have, and the Lord wants us to have and live. But most importantly for us is spiritual courage. Spiritual courage. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Jesus was specifically sending people out to teach, so this should be very relatable to us, that we have the mandate to go forth and teach all nations wherever we are and all that we come in contact with. And he said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 34, think not that I have come in to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That is describing a very courageous life to follow this. To do what God says right here takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of strength and courage to go forward thinking, I know I'm going to face battles. I know people are going to be against me. I know the majority are not going to want to listen to the truth. It takes a lot of courage to know that you're going to face that much. You know, when you're in sales, they tell you all the time, 99% of sales is hearing the word no. And sometimes it gets vehement. But you're doing it over and over so you can get to those successes, and that's what you're relying on for your success in life. in the business world and such. I was carrying on with sales there for a moment. That's why we go out into the world knowing. Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace. I bring peace, but I know when I send you out, that's not what you're going to face. You're going to offer it to people, and they're going to fight you for it. They're going to want to beat you up. They're going to want to dismiss you. And think about what the apostles went through and exemplified that that's the response the gospel often gets. By no means is that what the Lord wants, but he knows that's what it creates. Paul said in the summation of his life that he had fought the good fight. He had maintained his courage to fight the fight. And he characterized his whole life and existence as a fight, both with others for the truth and with himself to stay in a pathway of righteousness. It was necessary for him to fight that good fight to be able to win the crown of life. So we need to be strong and courageous, first in our faith. Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." The reason we have to be told to do that is because we want to react and we want to run and we want to jerk away and we want to escape. Be still and know that I am God. That's a call to courage. In the face of any adversity, any situation that we're in, be still and know that I am God. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 tells us to stand fast in our faith and be strong. Strength and courage is required for our faith. Timothy was told, "Let no man despise your youth." Why? Because people were going to despise his youth. People were going to challenge him, not only for what he was saying, but because of who he was when he said it and what age he was in his life. They were going to challenge that. Look at John chapter 14, maybe still in the Gospels there. John 14 and verses 1 through 4. John 14 in the upper room. Jesus told his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." I say this, courage and faith is faith that becomes knowledge. I so believe this that I know that's what's going to happen. And Jesus says it three or four times there. If you let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, you believe in me. For you can know that I am building a place for you. You have a place with me. We can know that. That's part of being still and knowing that he is God. I won't take time to read this at the moment, but you know it pretty well, I believe. 1 John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, and really a whole bunch I could say, but 19 and 20, he wraps up his letter by saying, "We know that God is God. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. And we know that we serve the true and the living God. And we know that we have eternal life with him." See, John had gotten to the point where it was no longer just a belief. It was now personal knowledge that he had. And that's where our faith can grow. If we have enough courage to believe, then we can let that become knowledge and be very assured of those things. The little Gospel of John, first letter of John is so short, and yet I did find the word courage is in that book 31 times. There's five chapters, and so that means more than six times a chapter he's telling us, we know. We know. We have to have courage in word. We need to speak the truth. Paul said, told Timothy to speak it in season and out of season. Why is that? Because sometimes it's not going to be in season. It's going to be out. And yet you've got to say the same thing. And we've got to be courageous to speak it because it remains the truth. We speak the truth that doesn't change in whatever times as they change. And try to bring those times back to God. Remember Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Remember Paul in these places where he's gone and been stoned and left for dead. Remember Peter and John when they were arrested multiple times for continuing to preach the word of God. They spoke the truth in courage. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. We've already studied this a couple times now. It's when the Sanhedrin arrested Peter and John and the other apostles and brought them forward, and they recognized their boldness to speak the truth of God. And that's what it says. They recognized their boldness, and yet they knew they were unlearned men. Why? Because they had courage in the word that they were speaking. And it showed. What they did note was that the apostles had been with Jesus. Yeah, these are the ones that had been with Jesus. That gave them courage. And even those that were their enemies against them recognized the courage that being in Jesus, with Jesus, had given them and emboldened them. So we have to be courageous in our faith. We have to be courageous in our word. We have to be courageous in our deeds. We need to flee the devil. We need to resist him. If we resist him, he will flee and flee us and go away. We need to be courageous in our deeds by turning the other cheek. How hard is that sometimes? You know, I believe that the Bible doesn't have any words against defending yourself and taking care of yourself. But when it comes to religious conflict that we have, and someone rejects the gospel, that is not our place to retaliate. So if we get our face slapped, like Paul was stoned and Paul was beaten and stripes five times, he received these stripes. He didn't retaliate on any of that because that was for the gospel's sake. And he had to have courage to go through that and not fight back himself. That was not his fight to make. It was his fight internally to stay strong and still and know that God was God. And not to turn our head from the plow. When things start going wrong, we put our hand to the plow and we have to look forward so we can do a straight line. And we have to have courage not to look around and be distracted by the things around us, or our road will be crooked and that will not be acceptable to the Lord. Finally, courage of conviction. Courage of conviction. We must choose God. That's what Paul was teaching in Acts 17 there. He told the Athenians that they needed to choose an unknown God now that he had revealed it. And God would only accept it if they turned to him and repented and served him. We have to have the courage of conviction to choose Jesus Christ. We have to acknowledge that Son of God. And a lot of people today will say something about God and they will reject Jesus because that's divisive. We've got to have the courage of conviction to preach that Jesus Christ is eternal life, and that's where God put it. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have to have the courage of conviction to maintain Christianity. There's no more downgraded religion or lifestyle in the world than Christianity, because it's like Christ, who they've already rejected as a world. We have to have the conviction to live our Christianity. We have to have our conviction to live righteous when we're at work, when we're at school, when we're out in public and things happen that shouldn't happen. We need to make sure we don't give our tacit approval to the things that are on us or around us that are bad and evil, but recognize that we're trying to maintain righteousness and speak up about it and stand up and act righteous in the face of unrighteousness, knowing that we may generate some of these trials and tribulations. But that's given to us to do that. We're called to that, Peter says in his letter. We should expect that if we live righteously and godly in this world, that we should expect that conflict, because Jesus certainly found it. They put him on a cross. If we come out any less than that, we've done better than that life through Jesus, of course. We need to have conviction of our teaching. We need to teach with conviction. We need to live with conviction, and that will create boldness. So courage is the source of our boldness. It can be recognized by others. And will it be recognized in us that we live for Jesus, that we serve him, that we have what we have in the way of courage and devotion and strength because we are with Jesus? Do we give him that honor to tell them that's where it comes from? If there's any wisdom in me, it came from God through Jesus Christ. If there's any hope of eternal life in me, it came through God. It came from God through Jesus Christ. If there's any truth that is spoken that helps someone to know God better, it came from God through Jesus Christ. And it's simply me trying to reflect it in my life and live courageously to speak boldly of my Lord. If you need help with that in any way, this congregation is here to help one another. We're here to help each other live strong and courageous lives in service to God. And if you don't want help with that, this will be a great time for you to let us know. You can come forward while we stand and sing and we'll pray for you. Or let some of the brethren know, and we will make sure that brethren hold your hand, help you through it, and encourage you to be strong. Please respond to the gospel tonight if you have any call.
always good to hold up for what you believe. I know I've thought about that a lot in jobs and such, and always been hard and fast on not working on Sundays and such like that. So I have the dedication that I need, but I have plenty. Thank you. Doing the men and women have to stand for it. The option will be right now.
Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercies and care that you give us. Help us to be more thankful for all the things you do and have done for us. We're very blessed to live where we do and to be able to meet together without persecution. Help us to be more aware of others who don't have as much as we do. Let us see opportunities to help them. Increase our faith so we don't fear anything from this world except sin and separation from you. Give us strength to do your work and to stay faithful forever so that we can have hope of a home in heaven with you one day. Help us to keep you first in our minds and hearts. Please continue to be with our military as they are serving our country and help keep them safe. Please let us meet here at the next appointed time, if it be your will. Thank you for the perfect sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, so that we can be forgiven of our sins. In his name we pray. Amen.